Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hello.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is happening out there?
Whoa.
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Hey.
Jeff, he just doesn't stop changing. He's amazing, isn't he?
He's a chameleon.
Yeah, I'm sort of like Madonna, David Bowie. And check me out here, drinking a Hams Tall Boy.
Ooh, is that a 16-ouncer?
It's a 60-ouncer.
Is Tallboy always 16, or is it just like 20? Like a 22 is also 20.
This doesn't feel like a 22. This feels like a 16. And yeah, man, it's from the land of sky blue waters. Hams Milwaukee beer.
Woo. It's good. That's like a pilsnery beer for those who don't know. It's like your basic of beers, right?
They keep it nice and light on the taste.
Yeah.
they don't want to bog you down.
They don't want to hit you with all that taste up top.
I don't need that. I do not need that right now.
Yeah, I don't have my spittoon on me.
What do we have going on today?
This is a weird one, because we could have just called it the screwdriver.
No. We can't just call it the screwdriver, because it's a fern bar drink, a famous fern bar beverage.
Between two fern bars.
Between two fern bars. But before we go down the road of Sir Wallbanger, what do you say we get into some certain type of news that begins with a booze? Hit it!
I'm Jeff Dutton.
I'm Mike Hanford. We got Tim.
What is up?
I'm Diane Sawyer. Those stories and Andy Rooney tonight on
Booze News, you ugly bitch.
Ooh, do me at the end. Sent in by Kang or Eric Kang. Great work. Kind of a 60 Minutes vibe.
Kang, yeah, that was a cool one. That funny voice at the end is it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's what good. Is that? What is that effect? Because it sounds chipmunky, but it's also like really gritty at the same time.
It's the one that I use that I think everyone keeps finding is on GarageBand. It's called Helium, I think.
Okay.
And it's trying to make you sound like you're on helium, but it kind of keeps your lower track in there too. So you're kind of bouncing back and forth between octaves. A little grimy.
It's exciting. I think for the booze news, for anyone sending in the booze news, you can kind of do whatever you want, but as long as it's got that voice at the end with a little expletive, I think that's about where we can say that's a booze news song.
Yeah, those stand out. Those are the highlights.
Send them in to thesloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com. And speaking of people sending stuff in, our first purse.
What the fuck? Like a handbag?
Our first piece of booze news here is sent in by the Wicker Man from our Discord.
Ooh.
Sent us this story, and I'm sharing it with you guys, Gadouge, in the chat.
Okay.
Aperol, our favorite aperitivo, has come out with a paint.
What?
Oh, I saw this.
Look at it. It is.
Now, you're drinking this paint?
I think that you put a little Prosecco, a little paint, a little soda.
So is it just called Aperol?
It's cool. It's like a deep 70s orange. It's like it's bright.
Yeah.
And they kind of copyrighted the Pantone. There's like a Pantone digit that is like denotes a certain color. The same way like Dodger blue is a specific blue, and they do paints and stuff.
Yeah, this looks like orange to me.
It is very orange. I guess when you make Aperol into a spritz, it gets more orange, but Aperol is more red pink. And this is sort of orange, but it is pleasant. I like it. It's like a 70s orangey kind of thing. I'm going to paint my whole room this color.
Orangey kind of a orange.
So folks, if you're painting your house, get yourself some of that. And then one other thing, I had a couple of film recommendations.
Ooh.
Hello.
That pertain to booze. First up, this is a movie I don't even want to say too much about, but you guys and everyone listening, check it out. It's new, and I think it was in like festivals in the fall, and is now streaming on the you can rent it on the normal VOD apps. A movie called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets. Either of you guys heard of that?
No.
About a bar, right?
It's about a dive bar.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, you saw it?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
You seen?
Yes. Have you? You have seen?
You've seen?
I have not seen.
I don't know if I want to talk too much about it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is I both have huge praise and then huge questions. But then said, maybe we all watch it. Maybe it becomes a Patreon episode.
Ooh,
well, I like that. interesting stuff.
Yeah, because we just covered another round with Mads Mikkelsen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're becoming film freaks.
The boozy films just keep on coming and coming.
Oh, and then this is a thing just for people to check out is the new Ken Burns doc series is about Hemingway. Check that out because the Sloppy Boys may be sometime soon dipping into one of Ernest's favorites.
Yeah.
If you want to be up to speed, take a peek at PBS.
Now, was Hemingway in the We Didn't Start the Fire song by Bill Joel?
Yeah, I think the first line is Hemingway.
He wrote the book. He did write the books. Well, that's all we have for booze news.
Do 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 do.
There you go. Pretty good booze news, huh?
God, I can't believe the booze news theme used to be.
It was good. It was good.
It was good. And now it's like whatever.
I think honestly, us just saying do 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 may be better than anything anyone sent in.
Ouch! Ouch! Not the Kanger.
Well, I love what everybody's doing with it, but I'm kind of an audiophile, so when it comes to the mixing and mastering, I'm hearing some frequencies that are a little bit off.
Oh, cool. I would love to take you should do a masterclass. I've been saying it for years. Tim, masterclass.
I've been pitching it to masterclass for years.
Audio
mastering for Booze News themes.
For dummies.
Okay, let's talk about the drink of the day. This is another hashtag sloppy spring beverage that everyone is going to go nuts for. It is called the Harvey Wallbanger.
Oh.
You've had?
I've not had.
I have not had.
You've heard of?
Have heard of and have had just a vodka juice or vodka orange juice screwdriver, but I not had this.
Before we started this podcast, I had never even heard of this one, so I had no image in my head. And then it's fun because when I looked it up, it is one where there's a lot of articles being like, oh boy, we all know Wallbanger drinkers and we all remember that. So it's funny to just stumble upon something you don't know about.
I feel like I had heard of it and I had heard that there were some, I mean, I didn't know that it was as simple as it is. I was picturing something crazy because it's called, the name Harvey Wallbanger makes the mind reel.
It really does.
Yeah, it really paints a picture of a certain guy.
I was picturing like a bullshot level thing or something crazy. And then I started to hear about like the variants, like long, slow screw against a wall.
Oh, yeah.
And all those keywords like mean something. So
yeah. Slow gin. Is it slow gin?
It's like slow gin and
Long Island iced tea.
Maybe long is just like, it's like a big drink, like a long drink or something.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a bunch of different variations and they all have little keywords in them.
Jeff, when we were talking about this, I get the feeling like, have you had this?
I've not had.
I thought you talked
he
about
said
it in a way
no
that was,
when I asked if he'd had.
You were talking in a way like, oh, we got to do the Wallbanger. I know the Wallbanger. I thought you were saying, I know this drink.
I was full of shit.
you sold it, man.
All comes around.
Well, wait, I got that Galliano hanging out.
Hell yeah.
Puts that to good use.
Right.
So yeah, this drink, we have Galliano because we made Golden Dreams with it. Mm-hmm. And this drink, the Harvey Wallbanger, is vodka, OJ, and Galliano Italian liqueur. So it's basically a screwdriver with a little hint of a vanilla flavor that comes from the Galliano and makes it a little, I guess it's supposed to taste a little bit creamsicle-y.
Oh,
I remember when we did that, I didn't have the Galliano, or yeah, I couldn't find Galliano, so I bought something else. I'm blanking on the name and I'm gonna guess what it is. It's like Socorro.
Ooh, you're maybe Sapporo beer, I think is what you got.
oh, what the hell am I thinking about? It's like an Italian thing, it's got
Coraco.
Sambuca.
Sambuca.
That's like, it's like saying Eureka when you finally think of something. Sambuca. Well, we had never heard of fern bars until our Cosmopolitan episode. And then we found out that this was a trend in the 70s of these kind of yuppie upper class singles bars in the 70s. They had brass railings, hanging plants, and stained glass lamps. And what's funny is the original one is the original TGI Fridays on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then they spun off. There's a big one. There was a San Francisco one called Henry Africa's that was very hip. And
is that one word?
No.
Henry
Africa's. Africa's. There are these bars where I guess it was kind of the first time that single women were encouraged to go out to singles bars and meet men.
The single ladies.
Oh, great. Now you have me doing that dance. Oh. I put my hands up. tighter than my very own jeans.
Dancing in my very own jeans. Can on my lips.
The popular drinks at Fern Bars were Cosmos, Lemon Drops, Mudslides, Grasshoppers, all the beverages that we equate with kind of the dark age of sweet bad cocktails.
That's funny because those all live in my brain as the same thing.
Yep.
It's like the 80s, right?
Yeah, and it kind of started in the 70s, went into the 80s, and then by the 90s, disco. This type of bar just became
family restaurants.
Family restaurants. Like Bennigan's, Rudigan's, Houlihan's, Applebee's.
The 99.
Uncle Moe's Family Feed Bag. Yeah, all the, yeah. The places with the crap on the walls.
So, Tim, you're saying this is started in the 70s, went to 80s. So we're talking went from disco to new wave. Okay.
It went from disco to Frisco.
Disco to Frisco. All right.
Okay, but this particular drink, here's the myth behind it. Yeah. And you guys are going to see right
Tim,
through
Tim, we want to hear the facts. Not yeah. The myth.
You'll figure out. Actually, let's see if you can figure out the facts when I tell you this myth. The myth is that in the 1950s, there was a surfer dude in Manhattan Beach, California, named Tom Harvey, and that he went to a bar on the Sunset Strip called the Black Watch Bar. And there's a famous bartender named Duke Antone. And Harvey asked Duke for a special drink. And Duke made him this, a screwdriver with some Galliano in it. And then the myth says that Harvey drank so many of them that he banged into walls.
Hey!
So that, hence the Harvey Wallbanger. Now, guess what the real story is?
That's good. Oh, wow.
I hope it's exactly the same.
Me too.
No changes.
Oh, it just wasn't the Sunset Strip. It was on Santa Monica Boulevard. No, it was a marketing guy came up with the whole thing.
They're all marketing guys. They had to sell some extra Galliano, so they came up with putting it in a screwdriver.
Exactly. It's the Galliano guy who was like assigned that account. And maybe Duke Antone was involved, but he runs a bartending school in Connecticut. So if it happened at all, it was in Connecticut.
Wow. This is kind of like how Jesus was born in the summer, we think.
Yeah. Oh. Well, speaking of Jesus and all the kind of iconography and the crucifixes you associate with him, mm-hmm. They cooked up a mascot for this drink and he absolutely rules. Google Harvey Wallbanger cartoon. Do an image search.
What the?
He's like a little egghead guy.
I mean, I love that it's so, all of the things are so 70s. They look like straight out of H.R. Puffin stuff.
Exactly. It's all like trippy, hippie. It looks like LSD art.
Yeah.
It's a guy holding a sandwich board. The one that I see, it's like a button.
Yeah.
Huge feet and sandals. And on the sandwich board, it just says 4 measures of orange juice to 1 measure of vodka, add ice and stir, splash in and measure Galliano.
Which, yeah, it's funny. Even within their campaign, they change up the recipe quite a bit and yeah. It varies from the IPA. But I love a lot of these I'm seeing. It says Harvey Wallbanger is the name and I can be made.
Yeah.
It feels like is there a double entendre there? Like I can be made as in a drink can be made, but made is like,
I don't know.
Like a mob
If you're
thing?
In disguise and the cops figure out it's you, you're like, they made me, right? Or if you're tailing someone.
Maybe.
I was made.
He's a little drunk. He looks like a... He's a mess, this guy.
Yeah, he's got bug eyes and wire hair, and he looks like shit.
Sometimes he has no hair at all. Yeah, he's not smiling. He just looks like spooked.
No, he looks distraught. he like his eyes, he's got bags under his eyes, and his mouth is a slit, like just a horizontal slit.
He looks like he's been up all night listening to the Sloppy Boys podcast.
All right, Wallbanger.
So it feels like they were going for a California... a surfer stoner vibe. Uh-huh. So, which is different than a San Francisco yuppie Fern Bar vibe, but who knows?
That'd be a funny little tattoo, a little Wallbanger.
You know
tattoo.
What? More drinks should have mascots. Mm-hmm. Folks, I know. Send us your drink mascots.
Draw them up, send them.
You got Spuds McKenzie and Harvey Wallbanger, the only ones I can think of.
Oh, yeah. And Spuds was discontinued because he was marketed towards kids. I wonder if this Wallbanger had that same problem.
Well, kids, see, if kids ever got a look at this guy, they'd run for the hills.
This Wallbanger fellow.
Okay, so the recipe that we're going to use today from the IBA is 1.5 ounces of vodka, mm-hmm. 1/2 ounce of Galliano, 3 ounces of fresh orange juice. Stir the vodka and OJ with ice in a highball glass. Float the Galliano on top. Garnish with an orange slice and an maraschino cherry.
Oh, we're putting Luxardo's in here?
You better believe it.
Okay, Tim, I meant to ask you this, and I'm going to do it now. I don't have any cherries. You know that. They've been stolen from me. I don't know where they are. They're gone.
Did you file a police report?
You think any of these cops care about that? I have that maraschino liquid, though. Should I just do a little splash of that?
You know, they said garnish, so I would say don't even worry about it, because if you splash it, you might turn this into a tequila sunrise.
Oof, that's not so bad either, except it's vodka.
Vodka sunrise. Jeff, do you have any questions that I can field?
Well, yeah, I'm a little pissed off that I have to float that Galliano. I want it in there, baby.
And what's float mean? You just pour it on top, right? And don't stir it?
Just pour it gently on top. But if that's the defining ingredient that makes this not a screwdriver, it's kind of weird to be, if you put a straw down to the bottom, you'll just be drinking screwdriver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, is the Galliano garnish at that point?
Yeah, geez.
It should be part of the drink.
Yeah, it's just a good looking garnish is a little pool of yellow.
I feel like we haven't done a stirring drink lately.
This will be fun. Don't overstir. Don't get too excited.
No.
Impossible. Great. Well, I'm ready to make a drink. How about you?
Yes.
I am too.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Great.
Be right back.
Hey, folks. It's me, Miley. Sorry, Mike. It's Mike. Anyway, a lot of people ask me what I do when I'm not whipping up cocktails. Well, I like to listen to podcasts just like you. And me? I love a good music podcast. And there's this band, Don't Stop or We'll Die. They're a weirdo rock band that the Sloppy Boys actually tour with weird, funny songs like I Got a Perm for My Camping Trip and Where Can a Nerd Find an Egg That's Square, a personal favorite of mine. So you're asking, what are these maniacs up to? Well, they got a new weekly podcast called Song a Week, where co-hosts and Don't Stop or We'll Die songwriters Michael Cassidy and Paul Russ debut a brand new, fully produced song every Wednesday. Crazy. Every single week. We're talking new songs like A Flower in My Garden. And all songs are produced by Amin Zarukian. Song a Week comes in bite-sized episodes that are less than 20 minutes, and it's produced by Tony Thaxton. And check out their Patreon over at patreon.com/don'tstoporwilldie for extra special goodies like monthly bonus episodes, downloadable tracks, and more bizarre, funny, rockin' gems. So check out Song a Week from Don't Stop or We'll Die. You will love it!
Back, Harvey Wallbanger's in hand.
Wee. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to drink from the top, or are we going to sip from the bottom, or are we going to mix it up?
Oh, I see what you're doing. I see what the floater's all about.
Because if I were to just take a drink from the top right now, I would just drink all of my Galliano.
Right. You got to sip selectively.
I'm going to sip selectively. That's what I'll do.
I'm going to do that thing where like you place the straw at the top of the drink, and as you start sucking, you push it down into the drink.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm going to do that
too. The old Galliano plunge.
Very complicated. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. I'm just stirring it.
I'm just stirring it.
I instinctively just started stirring it.
The Galliano plunge was too hard.
My hands are sticky as hell. I got Sambuca on my hands and I'm sticky.
Sambuca!
Sambuca!
When I put my orange slice garnish on top, it soaked up all the Galliano right into it. So I'm going to have to eat that to get any of it. Okay, here we go.
I took a little sip of Galliano as I was making this thing.
Yeah.
And I made myself mad again because it's one of those Star Anise things.
Yeah, it's licorice, right?
I got 8 fucking bottles of licorice liquor. But this one does have that vanilla thing we decided. Like when you mix it up, the vanilla starts to come out.
We decided.
It really doesn't have vanilla on its own. It's only when it's combined with the OJ. So wait, what would you say? I think that if you didn't have Galliano and you wanted to use what we already had, maybe some of that yellow chartreuse that we used would have worked.
Right. Honestly, even a tiny splash of absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the floater when it's clear. Like, that's not fun because then you have no idea what's floating around.
Yeah, where's the showmanship?
Yeah. You know what this tastes like to me? The candy called Mike and Ike's. No? Good and Plenty.
Hey! That other capsule-shaped candy.
Yeah, that other capsule-shaped.
But the thing is, it's got the fruit taste and the licorice, So it's kind of like an Ike and Plenty.
A Good and Mike.
Mm. Yeah, I'm getting
it's that. It's an interesting drink.
Yeah.
You know, this is... I feel like you kind of... I like it because I'm lowering my bar of expectation. It's not a showstopper like we've had on this podcast before, but it's more fun than just having a screwdriver.
Sure.
Yeah, a screwdriver is pretty pedestrian, if you ask me. And it's
oh, yes. Yeah. Screwdriver is for the common folk.
Hoi polloi.
The common man. No, this is the warbanger.
Now, you got to watch it because, like, you know that I'm kind of a big-time pedestrian. I'm out there on the sidewalks every day. Uh-huh. I'm using the footpath.
I've heard from the Neighborhood Drivers Association that you are often getting hit.
The Neighborhood Drivers. Stop talking to my Neighborhood Drivers Association.
Yeah, well, this is something, and I'm not loving it.
It's not ba da ba ba ba.
Right, it's not ba da ba ba ba.
It's funny to have this after we've already done the Golden Dream, because the Golden Dream is sort of a heightened. It's like this plus heavy cream.
Oh, hey, wait till we do the screwdriver.
Yeah, wait till we do just a shot of vodka.
We should do one week that's just a big glass of cream.
The thing that the people on the Discord hate, like, there was so much stuff where, like, they keep doing cream drinks. I can't drink cream.
These fucking guys, I hate their show. I wish it never came in my life.
I can't drink cream.
I like it getting a little meltier.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be that what happens every time where we try it and we're like, I have thoughts. And then as you get halfway through, it gets a little melty. You're like, I love this drink.
It's not so bad after all.
I'm sorry I said anything.
What we really like is water. Do you guys want to hear some of the pop culture references to this beverage?
Yes. Yes.
Sure.
Because I mentioned Moe's Family Feedbag from The Simpsons, but they call it out more specifically in a different episode. In the Flaming Moe episode, Homer is told by attorney Lionel Hutz that you can't copyright a drink. This all goes back to the Frank Wallbanger case of 1978. That's very funny.
That's funny.
And then the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers were nicknamed Harvey's Wallbangers because of their power hitting.
Woo!
That's kind of weird because they're already the Milwaukee Brewers. So it's like to have another boozy joke is like, yeah, you're already the Brewers.
Yeah.
They should be the Harvey Wall Bangers.
You know, what's a funny thing. I am shocked hasn't been made into a movie or at least 10 seasons of a TV show.
That little Harvey Wallbanger cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. That little guy. The fact that the Chicago Cubs used to do spring training in Catalina.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Wrigley Gum guy who owns Wrigley Field also, like, bought the island of Catalina in the 50s or something. And the idea of these, like, mustachioed, like, Chicago guys being like, I'm going out to Catalina to play spring training.
We got to take a ferry.
They all get sunburned. These, like, big white Chicago dudes.
I went to the field and I saw, like, they, like, the Wrigley Mansion looks like the White House and it's all fancy, but it's such a small island. It's funny. There was like nothing else for them to do.
There's a baseball field there now. I've been there, but I haven't been to the field.
There's not a stadium. I saw a like practice field and I assumed that was the place. Last couple of things here I jotted down. In CB trucker lingo, Harvey Wallbanger is a drunk driver.
Hey, that's funny.
So you see somebody. Huh. You say, watch out, we got a Harvey Wallbanger coming up.
Yikes.
And then, yeah, and it's been name dropped in Sesame Street and See No Evil, Hear No Evil. But
Sesame Street.
Yeah. Oh, there's a character who loves practical jokes and his name is Harvey Kneeslapper.
Oh, that's funny.
Practical jokes.
Hey, did you see, because I'm on a Sopranos kick, mm-hmm. and did you see the clip going around of Gandolfini on Sesame Street?
No.
Oh, it's great.
What's he do?
I think Zoe.
Does he make him an offer that they can't refuse?
Zoe's like the new Elmo. She's like a girl, right?
Yeah, she's Elmo's friend.
She's like walking down the street and she gets like scared of something. and she's like, oh, and she's kind of freaking out. And Gandolfini's walking by and he's like, what's the matter? And she's like, I got scared.
What's the matter with you?
And yeah, kind of. Well, it's funny because you hear the real Gandolfini voice, which is just like 15 degrees less piggy.
There's no New Jersey in it too. He's more right. Kevin Finnerty. He sounds like just like a smart actor kind of.
And they're like, you get afraid, Mr. Gandolfini? And he's like, yeah, I'm scared of three things. And I forget what like the three of them are, but it just like cuts to little vignettes of him being like scared in bed.
We got to check that
Very
out.
Very charming knowing that like Gandolfini is like, can be a tyrant.
Yeah. That little impression I just did was the best Gandolfini impression I've ever done.
Wow. I actually didn't know that.
We were here for it.
That's a landmark.
I used to think I did a really good Tony Soprano impression, and a lot of people said, no, you do not.
They were like, you should watch the show, Mike.
Yeah.
You should see what he sounds like.
It would help.
I watched an episode once with a friend of mine, and I don't know what was happening, but Tony was talking about prescriptions, and he's like, well, just get this prescriptions. we had such a fun time with that.
I love Sopranos. Rewatched it recently, but I watched it back in the day, and I remember that I don't know if you've gotten there yet, Jeff, but I told my dad a million times, you got to watch this show with me. It's so great. And then he finally watched, and I won't spoil anything, but it was like a season 4 episode that is notorious of being like the most harsh, violent, sad thing ever on television. And my dad was like, why are you watching this stuff? And I was like, you got to believe me. It's not normally like this, Dad.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, he didn't watch up to that point. He just saw that one.
He just like ducked in for one episode and saw horrible stuff. And he was like, what's wrong with you? It was kind of like, I think I've told you before that my dad saw me watching Problem Child. And then afterwards, he didn't say I couldn't watch or anything, but he was like, you like that? I was like, yeah.
It's funny.
He like kind of took you aside and was probing you, being like, is my son going to be a murderer?
Right, because that kid in that movie,
he's a sociopath.
He aspires to be a serial killer. He looks up to Michael Richards.
Well, you guys remember this story. I'm sure I've told you that, you know, my dad one time caught me, not jerking off, but he caught me wising off.
Yeah. Oh. You were right alone in your room.
I was in my room and I was like, yeah, what are you fucking looking at? I was just kind of staring at the wall. What the fuck are you looking at?
You think you're a tough guy over here?
Interrogating your stuffed animals.
Yeah, no, but I kick your fucking A's.
Yeah. You're going to get smart with me?
Doing this Joe Pesci impression.
What's funny to me? What's fun about? What is this?
That he said, oh, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he closed the door. And
my son wising off?
Well, he's that age.
I went in there because I was hoping to catch him jerking off.
I'm going to go wash my hands. I'm fully sticky on my hands. It's unbelievable.
Let's do a hand wash break.
Let me just do a quick
hand wash break.
I got a whiz.
Great.
If the Fern Bar was the singles bar of the 70s, right? And that was kind of a big deal that it's like, yeah, go there alone, meet a man. and it's not frowned upon. Do you think we have a modern day equivalent, or is just every bar a singles bar and then you're just swiping on your phone when you want to meet?
Wait, so a singles bar, like that always, the thought of a singles bar is funny to me. It feels like a very 80s thing that you'd see in a sitcom or something. But like a singles bar would be for women to go out and meet people, or were there women single bars? Because like single people of both sides of a relationship have to show up.
Right. And you gotta, before you're in a relationship, technically you're both single. Unless there's adultery involved. The original.
Well, a lot of bars used to just be like 60-year-old men drinking gin late at night or whatever. Right.
I mean, a lot of bars.
Right. Okay.
Like, didn't we? Isn't like McSorley's in New York didn't even allow women for a long time, and
right,
it was all
right,
very
right.
gendered. I think that then it was sort of this expectation that you either came to bars as a couple or you didn't go. And then
I see.
The TGI Fridays, the original one on the Upper East Side, was the first place where it's just like it was socially acceptable. Like you wouldn't uh-huh. see a woman there alone and think, why is she out here? You'd be like, yeah, right, right, she's right. out on the town. She's having a little bit of fun.
There's a it makes me think of like Jeff, when you were saying like bars would just be like 60-year-old men drinking gin. It makes me think of like why bars would be like, it's ladies night. Ladies get half off drinks just to like.
Oh, yeah.
Bring other women out to the bar. So like guys would go to the bar and
yeah, it's good for everybody.
Right. Cause it's just an assumption that there's going to be too many guys and guys will pay whatever,
yeah, whatever they have to.
But I mean, in the modern day, in the modern era, it feels like all bars are more single across the board. Like,
but also people aren't going there to look around and meet someone up. It's like a lot of time you're like meeting up with someone that you met on an app, right?
Oh, maybe.
If you are
yeah.
a single.
Well, but what about the club? Are you who's going to the clubs now? Who's going to
I would only go there if I have a bottle full of bub. Otherwise, right, I right. wouldn't even.
It doesn't make sense not to.
Yeah. You know what was a funny single scene? Remember 8 years ago when we did a sketch comedy show in San Diego? And then afterwards, yeah. we ended up at this mm-hmm. bar. We didn't know where to go. And instead of finding a cool bar with like young comedy. We did an on-campus show at UCSD yes. and then we went back to our hotel and just went to the closest bar. So I want to say it was like in Carlsbad. It was in the suburbs and it was like kind of an older divorcee scene.
Yeah.
And we were in our 20s and everyone else was in their 40s, but it was those guys. I love it. I love flat brim hat guys with airwalks with the socks pulled up and like shorts. Like yeah. Dickies, Tilly's
still dressing
type
like
shirts.
Like Limp Bizkit, still dressing yeah. like Fred Durst.
Fred Durst. Durst, and we were just like in the middle of a scene where it was like a bunch of those guys, 45 years old, meeting up with a bunch of 45-year-old women and dancing and having a blast, and we were just like, damn, SoCal.
They really were having a blast. It was like I remember there was like a bar. It was a bar and then like a balcony.
Yes,
and like people were like dancing up on the balcony and stuff. It was very cool.
I have a really funny picture looking down off the balcony, and there's the dance floor, and and you can see really distinctly Chris dancing in the middle of the. He's like got his hands up and he's by himself in the sea of like divorcees. It's very funny. I think it's on my Instagram.
I remember the end of the night for me. Dave Frigus and I got very drunk and we walked down to.
The train tracks, right?
Which the train tracks, it was the train tracks and then the beach. But to get down the beach, you would fall like down a big cliff and we didn't want to do that. So we were like, okay, we're going to wait here for this train because we saw like way in the distance, like train light. And we waited for like a half an hour and this train like never came. We're like, I don't think that's a train. I think that's a house. It's just like a light.
Common misconception.
And we went back to the hotel and went to bed.
That's always funny when you kind of travel for a show and then you, perform for something like 15 college kids in the campus dining hall or whatever.
Who were not into it.
And then you're not into it. Free event for students, but no flyers were posted. So they didn't know to go to it. And then you just try to have as much fun that night as you can, because otherwise you're going back home with your tail between your legs.
You know, Mitch and Chris and I went back to Ithaca to do like a Q&A.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
For
QAnon, right?
Yeah, for QAnon.
This was before QAnon was big.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of started it up there.
Cool.
No, we showed some Birthday Boys episodes, and you know, we thought it would be, we thought people would show up, basically, because here was this group of Ithaca people.
We thought there would be attendance.
Yeah, we were a group of Ithaca kids who went to LA and got themselves a TV show. And then when you go to Ithaca, you do see all these posters up being like, and it's like, Watchmen. This person did Crafty on Watchmen. And it's like, look, that's awesome to do, to work in entertainment at all. But we had no representation whatsoever as six Ithaca grads with their own comedy show. And then we did the Q&A for like 30, 40 people.
Wow.
And somebody flagged us down and was like, you should have been here last week. McLovin and Dave Franco were here. The line was down the block.
Don't tell us that.
Like, you should have been here to see them?
To be mad? To be jealous and mad?
To see a line.
The line was down
you
the block.
You guys should have had Dave Franco with you. That would have helped big time.
I know.
I also remember when I was a student at Ithaca, the guy from My Date with Drew came, and he was treated like he was Justin Bieber or something.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Maybe people are aware of us and they just specifically don't like us.
Didn't like it. Wow. Huh. Ouch.
It hurts.
That's one of those weird things about the world, I guess.
Yeah.
They got to add an eighth wonder to the list.
Well, I guess let's chew on that while we take a break.
Love it.
And we're back. Do we get into final thoughts?
Yes, who's back? Oh, I need to bring this. You know, the famous Eminem song, Guess Who's Back, back again.
Yes.
There was an episode where I was doing a bunch of those drops and I had them on my phone.
Who could forget? Yeah.
When I have my phone on random song now when I'm like running or something, every once in a while, it'll just be like, fuck you, Debbie.
Because you trimmed it down just to the sample.
Yeah. It's like, Guess Who's Back. And then the next song. I'm always like, what the fuck? Oh, right.
Have you had that thing happen where you get in your car and then your phone plays this a song that begins with A?
Yeah.
I've heard of that. I don't, my car's old, but.
There's a Sleigh Bells song that is like A something or like A slash. So it's like always the A would come first. And it's a jarring song. It always scared me. But then for a while, we did some UCB show where I was dancing and singing to Another Day of Sun.
From
what's that from?
La La Land.
La La Land, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Another Day of Carbs, wasn't it?
Yes, City of
City
Carbs.
City of Carbs.
That's actually some really good comedy. But then in my car, for the next year, that song synced up from my iTunes on my computer to my phone. And every time I got in my car, that song would blast. And I have a convertible, so it's the worst where it's like just in the Albertsons parking lot. And it's like, another day of
it's wonderful here, people.
What a town.
What a wonderful town.
You know what I saw online was that a lot of people's song for that, because it is it does play alphabetically, is A Punk by Vampire Weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A hyphen punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you got A and then some punctuation.
I just looked at mine. The song that always comes up for me is Weezer. Across the Sea always comes up.
Heavy nice. Song.
But nice. I do have Fish's AC/DC bag on three different shows before that. So I don't know why I won't play those.
The Sloppy Boys. Here's how we get famous, guys. We put out a bunch of songs that are all A space, A period, A dash. We're guaranteed to kind of monopolize the top of the playlist.
Yep.
You know what's like, remember that band? It was just three exclamation points.
Yeah. Chick, chick, chick,
chick, chick, chick.
That's so how did you know that was their name?
I didn't for a long time. And then I heard somebody say it.
The files that ended up on my computer, it said artist, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, parentheses, CHK, CHK, CHK.
Wow.
This is our name. This is how to say it.
I don't know. That's a tough one for kind of like the opposite of what Tim's saying for a band to be like, we're this thing no one knows how to spell.
I don't like when you have to think extra hard about how to pronounce shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
band names.
It's just Megan Thee Stallion. And they got me walking around saying the for the first month.
Yeah.
And then what else? Ray Sremmerd? That's too hard to say.
She got me walking around going, ah.
Ah. Yeah, she got me walking around going, ah. Oh, oh. Gag reflex.
How do you say this band's name? I'm just going to write it for you.
Oh, I'm going to have to read your chicken scratches. Come on now. MGMT.
Yeah, I've heard people say management.
Yeah, same with NERD. People are like, you like that band Nerd? I'm like, nah, it's NERD.
I watched a video, a YouTube video, breaking down MGMT's career. And they said that those guys started that group as like a joke. They were like college students being like, what if we pretended we were indie stars and we had these hooky songs like and then it got really popular. And that's why already by their second album, they were like making weird, challenging music because they're like, we didn't want to do this shit.
Huh.
Well, it works, guys.
It's good news for any other bands that started sort of as a joke.
The Harvey Wallbanger.
How do we feel?
I'm drinking this. I'm liking it more and more as it's going down.
I would say it's a, I like it. It's nothing special, but maybe it's the opposite of Appointment Only, right? It's like, you're never going to get excited about it, but if you looked in your fridge or if you looked at your cabinet and you saw some Galliano you're trying to get rid of, I would have another round.
Yeah, I'd have another round. It does feel like, yeah, if I'm trying to get rid of Galliano the same way that the ad guy at Galliano was trying to get rid of some Galliano, then I would get a whole bunch of them.
I would draw a cartoon character and try to sell it. If I were at a Fern Bar, it's kind of funny because all the other Fern Bar drinks are like Grasshopper and Mudslide are so intense. This is probably the one I would order at a Fern Bar.
Is Galliano strong? Were we putting some like real liquor in there? Or is it like 30 proof?
I don't know.
I just blew in my breathalyzer and I'm a 0.10,000. That doesn't really work out with the decimal points, does it?
It's 40% ABV.
So 40% means 80 proof. So that is strong.
Whew.
Yeah.
This is a drink where if I was at a party or a bar and someone was like, hey, I made some Harvey Wallbangers, I'd be like, cool. Did you make anything else? All right. You didn't. I'll have the Harvey Wallbanger. I don't dislike it.
And even if he says he didn't, you'd be like, could you please make it? Could you make me a screwdriver? And he'd be like, I don't know how. He'd be like, don't know how. What the fuck?
Just stop with the Galliano. Yeah. If a bartender was like, hey, I made an extra one of these. Do you want?
You want?
You want? You had?
I love that when a bartender gives you an extra accident drink. I ordered some drink at Big Bar here in Los Feliz at Alcove.
Sure.
And the bartender, she gave me and Jessica our drinks. And then 1 minute later, she came back and she was like, I made those wrong, by the way. So here's another round that I made right. And I hadn't noticed because I'm too stupid.
I got a martini here the other day in New York. Oh, and yeah. The fucking thing, I had to send it back like twice. It was like first like almost all vermouth and then like also no olive juice. And then he brought one back with more olive juice and then again, too much vermouth. I was like, let's cut it here, man. What's going on here? And this is an establishment too. This was a nice place.
You and I are not the types of people who would like send things back.
Right.
Willy nilly.
I hate it.
But too much vermouth in a martini is reason to send it back, especially because you're paying $15 for that martini.
And when I said basically no vermouth.
Yes,
my man.
I hate sending things back, but I did. One time on New Year's Eve, I ordered a martini and I said, little dirty, which I've learned to not say anymore. Just don't get it dirty if you only want it a little dirty. But the guy juiced it up so much with the olive brine, but I didn't want to send it back.
Right.
But then it was almost undrinkable. And I spent my New Year's Eve drinking salt water like a dumbass.
Drinking brine. Well, is that it for the wall banger? I think it is.
That's it.
It's well covered.
That's it for me.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fine. It's fine.
We're okay with it existing.
Yes. I like the idea of where it came from, the Fern Bars in the 80s. Everyone's got the brass rails. Great.
Sure.
Great.
Everyone's got the grass rails going on, sliding down those rails.
Now, are you two ready for a little bit of a quiz?
Oh,
this yes. is a very simple quiz. It's one question.
Shit.
Okay.
And it's not a question. It's a command.
Oh,
name me three actors who have played Harvey Dent.
Aaron
Eckhart.
That's one.
I have his phone number, by the way.
Call him up. Congratulate him for the role.
Oh, Tommy Lee Jones.
That's right.
Gary Oldman? No, that's the...
Who are you going to pick?
Commissioner Gordon.
Okay, shit. Fuck. I mean, I'm sure the animated series had like an actual actor as the voice, but I don't know who it is.
There's a bunch of them.
Is there still like a celebrity one we haven't said yet?
Yeah. You probably didn't know he did this. Actually, there's a guy.
I bet you like Harvey.
Who we know.
Oh, from like
in real life.
You know who it is? It's probably the person who was in Lego Batman, because it's a bunch of. Is it like Steve Agee or something like that?
No, it's not Steve Agee. I'm just doing a little digging here to make sure. Yeah.
Is it a comedy person?
Yeah, it's like Kroll or somebody.
It is a comedy person.
Oh, John Mulaney.
No. It is
Hannibal Buress.
No, he went to our college.
Andy Daly. No shit. Daly was Harvey Dent.
In something called Harley Quinn. I guess that was just some animated spinoff thing.
That's a new show.
Oh, okay.
Wait, can you look up who was Harvey Dent in Lego Batman? Because all the Lego Batman people are like Garfunkel and Oates and stuff.
Troy Baker.
I don't know Troy Baker.
Troy Baker.
You don't know Troy Baker.
But I think there's a bunch of different Lego Batmans.
Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face, right?
Yes.
So when Tommy Lee Jones was Two-Face, he starts that movie. He's already Two-Face, right? Is that Batman Forever?
Yeah, because those were kind of like not great.
I thought it was cool.
But actually, the Lego Batman also looks like Billy Dee Williams, I think, was.
What?
Like I'm saying, I think there's a bunch of different like iterations of
Lando
Lego
Calrissian.
Batman. Yeah, that was Billy Dee Williams was Harvey Dent, Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
Okay, well, that's
cool. But then there's something else. Troy Baker's in Lego Batman. That might be like a TV show thing. I don't know. But we also got William Shatner, Richard Mole. Who else do we? I don't really know anyone else.
Billy Dee Williams was the spokesman for Colt 45 malt liquor.
Really?
Those are some cool ads.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was after Lando, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's hard for me. You know, when you guys are talking about these Batman characters, sorry if I seem like stressed out, but I just prefer the MCU over DC Comics.
Wow. Mm.
Wow.
Tim, I knew that about you.
Yahoozo. I watched Endgame and Infinity War the other day.
Really?
Back to back?
I kind of scrolled through them a little bit and got to some action scenes that I wanted to see. I wanted to see that snap.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that like the Snyder Cut came out and everybody was talking about the Snyder Cut, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to go back to the fucking Infinity War Endgame.
Wait, what was the Snyder Cut? Was DC stuff?
Unless
right?
Did Zack Snyder do a cut of Endgame? They should let him get in there on the knobs. The
Snyder Cut is a 4-hour version of Justice League.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That I watched last night.
And nobody's really liking it on its own 2 feet. People say it's interesting to watch because you're like, oh, there was some good scenes with Batman or whatever, but.
Yeah,
it's like a bloated movie that was cut down for good reason. It's just about maybe they didn't cut the right stuff.
My big qualm with it is that they didn't fucking end it. I thought this was going to be like a satisfying thing where they wrap it up and they rock and roll. And it was just like another one of these fucking movies that, despite even being 4 hours, sets up the new bad guy. And it's like not satiating. Well, you guys want to look at some mail?
Yes.
All right. This is coming in from Allison. She says, hey, sloppy boys, my 4-year-old recently said the F word and said he learned it from you guys. Don't worry. My husband and I give you three all the credit when our friends ask how he got so cool.
Hey, I like that.
Dang. What would that song? I wonder what song it was.
In light of your influence on the youth of America, what is some advice you would give your childhood self?
Oh,
thanks. Love the pod, Allison. P.S. He listens to music with headphones when we listen to your show now, so please don't call CPS.
Yikes.
Maybe in Here for the Beer, right, Mike? You're like, we're guys who like to fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeesh.
yeesh. What would we tell our childhood selves?
I'd tell childhood Mike to, you got to learn to play the bass, man. You got to learn to play that fucking thing.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, maybe try telling that to adult Mike. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay. I know what I'm going to tell adult Tim off the air.
You're about to be caught wising off the air. Oh, boy. I would probably tell myself to just be kind of awesome, quite frankly.
I would tell my younger self to invest.
Invest in Bitcoin.
On day one.
Day one.
I would invest. That is, I would, that's actually, I would invest earlier. I would invest. Hey, all the kids out there, invest.
Invest.
Don't say the F word. Invest.
Invest.
Anytime you feel the urge to say fuck, instead, buy one share of Apple.
I wish I told my young self, hey, invent the iPhone.
If only you had just known to do that, you could have got together some kind of aluminum foil and some tape.
It could have been me.
I would have said, pay more attention to King Ralph. It's a funny movie.
Pay more attention while you're watching it. Yeah. I was thinking, I don't know how to give my younger self a way around this, but I was remembering recently just how much homework I used to have to do. I feel like when I was in seventh grade or earlier, sixth grade, I would have to come home and I'd be like, I have so much homework. And then I'd do homework for like a whole 2 hours. Yeah. And it was always teased to me like, hey, if you don't do your homework in sixth grade, I think that like seventh and eighth grade, junior high, there was like, you get into the Young Scholars Program for gifted and talented kids. And I worked hard and then I did do that. And I was in that program. But then once you're in that program, you're like, well, you got to work hard. So when you get in high school, you're going to be in AP classes. And I did do that. Then I'm in high school and I fucking blow off my AP classes because it's stupid. Mm-hmm. And then nothing ever mattered. So the peak of my academic career was when I was in sixth grade. That's stupid. Just go play with toys.
You know what's so funny, like doing homework as a kid? You know that feeling when like you get into the class and be like, okay, take out the homework. And you were like, fuck, I didn't write down we had homework. Like that moment of just like, oh shit.
Did you guys have assignment notebooks?
Uh-huh.
It was like a little, it was like a planner that was like half the size of a page.
Yeah.
And you would write
yeah.
like, oh, I got to do the odds from pages 35 and 36 for math.
Yeah.
I was so disorganized as a kid that like, either I didn't have an assignment notebook or I did and I just like didn't write it on the real day. And I remember having notebooks with all sorts of notes and drawings in them. And then I would like write a note on a random page crooked in one corner being like page 39 odds tonight. More than one time I would come in having done the wrong homework just because there was no rhyme or reason as to
right.
My to-do list was just complete chaos.
I remember one time in a math class when you were saying do the odds makes me think of like the answers are in the back of the book for the odds.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember doing like whatever in high school at some point, I think junior year, doing whatever homework was and totally like not having time and just like basically writing the answers down.
Yeah.
And like feigning showing work. And my teacher like was like, Mike, come here. Or she was going around the room and she was like, oh, you got to show work here. You can't just do the answers. I was like, I don't know. It was, we both knew what was going on. I was like, yeah, I did
well,
it.
Well, I haven't thought about that in 30 years, the idea of doing the evens or the odds, but that is the teacher admitting that there's too many math problems in the book. Like you would say, do the evens or do the odds so that you would, not have to do so many, but you could still get to the harder ones. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it means that they put 30 math problems at the end of a chapter. That's too many.
Did I ever tell you guys the greatest trick the devil ever pulled?
Convincing the world he didn't exist?
Yeah, but in this case, the devil is me in Catholic school. I turned in a paper that was supposed to be a 2-page paper, and I just ran out of steam because I'm a concise guy. I'm not going to sit there and spin yarns for, you know, Mr. Keeley's class.
Sure.
So I had a page that was like getting to my point and I just like didn't want to finish it or couldn't finish it. So I stapled one page and handed it in and got an A. And the teacher was like, you were missing a page. Like, I don't know if you like you can find that or whatever. But I looked and he had like given me an A and I was like, oh yeah, okay. Sorry.
Oh, shit. That's really smart.
Nice little hack for all the students out there.
Crazy.
Dude, I had one of those little hacks where over the summer, I had to read a book for English class. I want to say it was like Tests of the D'Urbervilles.
It was?
Or the Scarlet Letter or something. But I had to read a book and do a book report and mail it into my English teacher over the summer. Did you ever have to do that?
The fuck?
Mm-mm.
No.
Maybe like between 11th and 12th grade. But here's what I did. I didn't read the book. And then I came, and then I printed off the old fashioned internet. I printed out some like Cliff's Notes, like a synopsis of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll read this. And then I got sick of even reading the synopsis.
I'll read this.
So I was like, I know. My plan was to mail my letter to my English teacher with the wrong address so that the mail would come back to me, return to sender. And then I could tell my teacher, see, I tried to mail it to you, so, but it didn't work. Uh-huh. So I wrote on.
But then wouldn't you be like, okay, so you're here now. Where's the paper?
And I'm like,
it's gone.
So wait, sorry, Tim, what did you mail? So you mailed something to the wrong address, but was it empty?
Well, that was my problem. I wrote a fake address. I wrote Mrs. Paisley, 123 Sycamore Street. And I don't know where she lived. But I wrote like 123 Sycamore Street, Kingston, New York. And I didn't want the envelope to be empty. So the papers that I folded up to put inside were the synopsis I printed off the internet.
Oh, no.
And I put it in there. I mailed it. It never came back to me.
Oh.
And then I went into school on the first day and she's like, okay, I'm handing back your summer work. And she handed me back the printed out synopsis with a big C minus on
top. C minus?
That's gracious of her. That was cool of her, C minus.
And just it synopsized the book with no insight, but then also it didn't have a name on top or anything, but it's the most importantly, the mailman found her. 123 Sycamore Street.
It was just a small town thing, and he's like, I know this person.
Small town thing.
Oh, Miss Paisley. Yeah, that's not Sycamore Street.
I know Mrs. Paisley.
Yeah, young Tim doesn't have her address right. Well, I'll make sure it finds the right spot.
By the way, summer reading.
Yeah, that sucks.
Summer reading fucking sucks.
Yeah. And why? Why would you ever even do that to a kid?
It should be summer Fortnite. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of you two. Tim, I thought you were going to say this story. Do we know somebody who, like, I think it was in college, doing a paper that they had to email in and just didn't get it done and wrote, like, you know, if you, like, don't have the right formatting on something, it'll just be, like, those little boxes where the letter should be?
Yeah.
Yes. Or like wingdings, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody, like, typed up a whole, like, page of that.
Oh, that's smart.
And like
smart.
Sent that in.
Smart.
I was like, what? You can't open it? Well, I don't have any. I deleted it or whatever it is. Was that somebody? I thought we knew somebody who did that.
That's clever. I mean, that's like the modern version of what I did. How weird that I had to print mine out and send it. It's very archaic. What if we went back to school like Rodney Dangerfield?
Ooh, or Adam Sandler.
Yes. Hubie himself.
Folks, that's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode.
Oh, yeah.
We're having a lot of great times over there on The Blowout.
You really now, that's do. A good show.
That's an actual good show. I'm not a podcast fan,
but that show gets me.
This, whatever is going on here, this is dog shit compared to that.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Peace and love.
What about the prescriptions? Hey, Carm, where's Anthony?
Give it up for your boys. Give it up for your boys.